Sorry.
I'm just trying to decide if we should use that. Yeah, Buzzy, that's the beginning of the intro. My name's Sean Collier. Here's Marta.
Batman.
We might even use it twice. Yeah, we're talking about the Lego Batman movie on a Saturday morning, and it was delightful, and Marta swore in front of children.
Oh, I did. I'm so sorry, Aaron Kleiber.
He's not going to listen. It's okay. We're going to talk about some other stuff and just have a good old time this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, and then I forgot the month.
The 10th.
But I forgot it was February. Yeah. Friday, February 10th. Yes. Well, that's 4 days before my birthday. I should be on this.
Happy birthday. What does that make you?
I'll be 32.
No, like, I meant your sign, but, you know.
Oh.
32.
Could 32 be the least significant birthday?
It's pretty, yeah.
That's really
just
like...
Just glaze right over that. It's kind of a freebie.
Yeah, sure. 33, at least it's alliterative.
Mm. Is sounds that what better. I mean? Sounds yeah. better. You didn't answer. What is the sign for February 14th?
Aquarius.
Is it Aquarius? Oh, my sister's Aquarius.
I don't, but I mean...
Aquarian.
If you've seen my stand-up, I don't think you have.
I don't think I have either. I see you face-to-face being funny.
Right. But no, my...
I get the personal show.
My closer is about how horoscopes are bullshit, so put any stock in it. Do you?
I do, actually.
And it's
a little bit.
And this has been pointed out to me, is that I put incredible, like meaningful, almost to the point of judging people's stock, into your Harry Potter house.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
But are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And like that, I believe in 100%. Horoscopes, not at all.
So you believe probably a group of algorithm scientists for Pottermore.
Yes.
Like figuring out science.
Right.
You believe in science.
Right.
But not astrology.
Yeah, because that's because J.K. Rowling, who and some other people who know personality types... sat down and worked that out. It wasn't like, well, the moon... No, bullshit. Like, let's listen to... She sold a lot of books, okay? She knows. And, like, there's a surprising amount of, like, the things that Hufflepuffs understand, BuzzFeed lists, that I'm like, yes, I do understand that.
I get that.
I absolutely
understand.
I relate
to you.
Yeah.
I relate to you.
Anyway, I'm glad to learn that you...
I am.
Like, when I found out... This is brand new. I'm reading the Harry Potter books now for the first time.
I remember, we were waiting in line to see Allied.
Yeah.
And I asked you if you've ever read them.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, don't judge me. And
yeah.
I was like, I'm judging you so hard, but I'm also excited for you.
Yeah.
You are the first time going through it. My friend Andy, Coleman is the first time. Rachel's the first time. All you guys, I'm jealous. I want that feeling again of magic.
It's way better. Like, I always thought, if I sat down and read these, I'm sure I'd enjoy it. But it's so much more than that. And, because Row House is about to do their Harry Potter Film and Cultural Festival, right?
I didn't know this was a thing.
And that's the thing that hooked me, is it's not just some books and movies. Like, the cultural festival part of that is big, that this is like a fandom plus.
Oh,
like
yeah.
this is a complete
world. It's like Star Wars.
Yeah. And I kind of, oh my God, I almost said it out loud. You can't say that on a movie
podcast. What were you going to say?
I mean, I'm more interested in Harry Potter than Star Wars.
Oof.
Like
that's deep.
Like I like Star Wars. Every time I see both of the recent movies have been great. I enjoy Star Wars, but like as a culture, as like a universe, I think the Harry Potter universe is more interesting than the Star Wars universe.
It is more interesting, and I'll take it one further. You got to create your own world of Harry Potter because you got to read them.
Right.
Star Wars, you didn't get to read. I mean, right. They're coming out with all sort of offshoots and all of these things. Josh Antune, I know you're out there being like, I'm reading that book. Because he is. Yeah. He's one of those people that like grabs the book from the library and reads the fan fiction. Although I can't judge. I'm really into Sherlock fan fiction right now.
Okay.
But,
do your thing.
You know. But you got to read it. You got to create it in your own mind.
The Harry Potter Film and Cultural Festival at Row House is February 17th to March 2nd. They're showing all 8 movies.
Damn.
And there's a bunch of events, but most of the events sold out the minute they went on sale.
Wow.
Like there's Hogsmeade night and there's
contests.
And this isn't 100% yet, so I have to talk around it. But a couple showings of the first film, Sorcerer's Stone. At a couple showings of Sorcerer's Stone, they will have sorting ceremonies beforehand.
That's awesome.
And just know, if you're sitting there and you're listening to the voice of the sorting hat and you think, that sounds a lot like Sean Collier, that is not an accident. But
you are
it's
the
not 100% yet.
Okay.
It's not 100% yet. But if
what?
You're if you go there and it sounds like me, then that came together.
That would be awesome. And whoever's responsible for bringing that together, can you please, on behalf?
We're trying to make it happen.
Yeah. I'll make that happen because that's awesome. We're going to get you there. We're going to get you as the MC for any sort of wrestling event.
Yeah. Marta just learned about my obsession with wrestling when she was like, why did you go to Texas? And it's like 5 wrestling shows in 4 days.
Oof.
And pointed out, yeah, I've known since the age of like 9 that I would be the best ring announcer ever. But no one has, you know, made that happen
yet. That's going to change.
It's because every local wrestling promotion has their guy who's been there since day one, and they love him, and he's got a nice suit, and this is his thing, and I understand. I've got plenty of activities in my life, and I'm sure that ring announcers don't get paid anyway.
You can come in for special events. We can make this happen. I am sad you missed the Chad Deity show. That was that you would have.
Yeah, that
would have been
great.
Your jam.
Anyway, let's talk about the Lego Batman movie.
We're talking about Lego Batman.
And I don't think I don't want to give away that I don't think Aaron listens to the episodes that he's not on. But I think I've said that 50 times already. So if you want to accidentally swore in front of Aaron's kids.
I did.
That's how the morning began.
I did. Well, you asked me about Magic Castle,
which we'll talk about in
we'll
extra
talk
butter.
About yeah, in extra butter. But Batman. Yeah. How about the opening? Well, immediately when we sat down, I was like, I would not want to see this if it wasn't Will Arnett.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's this. I mean, this is this. Wait. This hits the exact same spot that the Lego movie hit.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of anything that my opinion shifted so much walking in versus walking out, where that was a Saturday morning. We did a podcast about it. How long ago was that? Not that long ago. 3 years ago?
3 years.
And walked in like, what? How is there a Lego movie?
How is it going to be good?
A whole movie. And then walked out like, that was amazing. And as soon as this one began...
Oh, my God. Can we do the impersonations of Will Arnett?
You can do anything you want.
No, I want to hear your impersonation as well.
No, That's
black.
what was the line?
Always bet on black.
Every important movie starts with a black screen.
Every important
like that.
Starts with a black screen.
That's 2 days in a row that I've been suckered into
doing voice.
Doing yesterday.
Doing voiceovers?
Yesterday on the morning show, I don't even know what the setup was, but Monique insisted that I sing "We Are Family."
Ooh.
And I'm like, well, she has an Oscar, so I have to do that now.
Yeah, you have to
So
do
I sang We Are Family on the morning show yesterday.
Was it good?
Did not want to, but any Academy... Yes, if you have an Academy Award, you can make me sing at any time.
Were you on key?
Yeah, I think I did okay.
All right.
And then Bill Crawford wouldn't play along.
Of course not.
I was like, why would wait he, a minute.
Well, he you did it first.
Right.
Yeah, why would he do it?
Yeah, that's true. Bill can probably out-rap me. But, like, in terms of key, I don't trust him to stay on key. That's true. That's true.
Oh.
I would plug Monique at the... Oh, that was last week. If you ever get the chance... Monique is amazing. And she's the nicest person.
What was she doing on?
She was at the improv this weekend.
Oh. She just came. She was like, hey.
And she is at the Improv this weekend, and she still came and did radio, even though she had sold out every show before she got in there.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
Because she's so nice. And, like, she might be the most famous person I've encountered in there. Like, I feel like if you have an acting Oscar, you're instantly more famous than Tom Green, right? So, like...
Technically.
Yeah, and like, at the end, she, like, gave me a big hug, like a face contact hug, you know? And, like, she's the nicest person.
Aww.
If Monique is in your town, go buy a ticket.
Go get her.
We still haven't said anything about the Lego Batman movie.
It's so good.
I think...
Well, I love the opening.
Yes.
Can we talk about the opening?
Go.
Okay, so the opening of the Batman Lego movie had you in stitches from moment one, because it's just a black screen, and, you know, the credits roll out, the DC's got to do their thing, and all the production companies' logos, and Will Arnett is just rapping, like, just talking behind every single logo that comes up and just making you crack up.
He's just riffing.
DC, I made him who they are.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just riffing through the whole thing, and his, like,
his
Batman is so good.
It is.
Because it's 100% Batman in a parody. It's a parody of Batman that is still, he is more Batman than Ben Affleck is. Which is not me shitting on Ben Affleck, because, like, we've discussed this, like, Ben Affleck's performance is not the problem with those movies. But it's not Batman. That is the problem. Like, Ben Affleck is doing a good job at playing a character that is absolutely not Batman anymore. And Will Arnett is more Batman to me at this point.
Yeah, Will Arnett is definitely more Batman. Okay, so the movie is awesome.
Yeah.
The thing about it is the opening,
mm-hmm.
the first 10 minutes of the movie feels like the last 10 minutes of any other movie.
Yes.
Did you feel that
too? It's
that
funny.
But it was like this, like, crazy, it felt like an end scene with all of every bad guy,
mm-hmm.
including Condiment Man.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I've slowly started to notice that the funniest thing in the world to me is lists of random phrases that go on way too long. Like, there's that one Rick and Morty bit where they say, this guy's got a lot of weird catchphrases, and it's just 90 seconds of catchphrases that he's never said before, and, like, I'm dying. Or the catchphrase verse in Popstar, and this where Batman just started naming Batman villains,
oh, man.
And it eventually slipped into made-up Batman villains that still sound kind of plausible.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious.
And the characters that came up with them.
Yes.
No wonder there were so many writers for the show.
Yeah, there's many, many writers in this movie. But I during that period, during, like, the first 20, 30 minutes, I was thinking the Lego movie and now the Batman Lego movie, or the Lego Batman movie, are better at making things that are simultaneously funny for adults and children than anything I can name. Like, Pixar movies will be funny for adults and children. Some of the, like, you know, the DreamWorks, the How to Train Your Dragon, and
Zootopia did a pretty good job about it.
Yeah, like Disney does it too, and
they
like,
did.
But this is really, really funny for adults,
yes.
And really, really funny for children at the same time, often on the same joke,
or if not, they'll throw in something that children just won't get.
Yeah,
and they won't care because it's so quick.
Yeah.
That they'll miss it.
Oh, the references to Batman's cinematic history in this are unbelievable.
That was so good. With the bats flying over. They mirrored.
They cut to every previous Batman movie.
Oh my God.
In every timeline.
Yes.
And like
1960s Batman, he's like, that was just weird.
Yeah.
And it shows, like,
oh my God,
Adam West, like, doing some sort of funky dance.
And it's Simon, that's, again, it's simultaneously a parody of Batman beginning to end and also a really good Batman movie.
It was a really good Batman movie. You know, it kept my attention. Because I think sometimes with the animated Lego movies, they're so rich.
Yeah.
For your eyeballs and your brain to take in all of it that you almost you almost get tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, you experience a lag like halfway through the movie. But they mixed it up when Jerry Maguire came on.
God.
So there's a scene. I don't want to spoil this, but it's so good. I was dying in my seat where Batman's just all alone. He's got like his helmet on, you know, his mask on. And he's sitting in his amazing home theater and trying to figure out the HDMI number one, number two, number three. And he's like, that's not it.
That and waiting for the microwave to be done might have been the funniest moments in the entire thing.
They were so good. And they were the quietest moments.
And yeah, nothing was that. It was just Batman sitting and waiting for the microwave. And it's like, God.
It was so good.
But no, I mean, it's at like, The general thing we're describing happens like where in Frozen there are jokes that are just for adults, and in Shrek there's a handful of jokes that are just for adults. But this is like,
I'm like the only person that didn't like Frozen.
I love Frozen. I was crying.
You were crying?
Yeah.
Aw, Sean.
Of course.
That's adorable.
It's so. I mean, I was.
Wait, what part were you crying?
I mean, I teared up for society because like. The fact that it was a mainstream Disney movie where the themes were
like a strong woman,
where the themes were the love between sisters, which is distinct from any other relationship, and also coming out narratives. It's like, oh my God, this is a Disney movie and I'm losing. Like when the twist was, oh, she needs true love's kiss to be saved, which is the oldest.
Yes. Of course.
Fairy tale trope ever, and
because we don't need to be saved,
and right, and it wasn't her, you know, man. It was her sister who loved her truly. I got choked up. And frequent guest Amy Whipple was bawling openly. I was like holding back tears. Oh. Amy was just a puddle.
I don't know what it was about it. I actually went to go see it with my sister, and we both unanimously were like, "Eh." It just
breaks my heart.
I know it just wasn't. It felt very textbook. I don't know.
I remember we saw it really early, and like a couple days later, I like looked up the soundtrack and put "Let It Go" on in the car, and I was like. I wonder if this is going to become a hit.
Oh, well.
This sounds like it could be big.
Yeah.
3 months later.
Forever.
Yeah. But anyway, the point being, a lot of animated movies do that, where this joke is for adults, this joke is for kids. I feel like the Lego movies almost have two simultaneous scripts.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a joke for grown-ups with the frequency as if you were seeing 21 Jump Street. Which was the point of reference because the writers of 21 Jump Street wrote the Lego movie, not the Batman one, but the Lego movie.
Okay.
Like, those jokes come that frequently, and then the jokes that are there for kids, like, two out of five of which are butts, or about butts.
A lot of butts. A lot of butt joke, but I found them funny.
Yes.
Like, when Batman took off his Lego pants, I was cracking up.
It's, there's so, like, the jokes per minute is so, so high.
It is.
And
starting with the buddies on the plane.
Right.
And there's like thinly veiled jokes that only adults, you know, are going to get.
Yeah.
You know, the two best friends on the plane flying. Oh, my God.
And absolutely. And like, if you're into this, you have to see it twice because I was occasionally catching like the like sign in the background jokes, which were always awesome. Like
Crime Alley.
Yeah, the Batman's parents were murdered in Crime Alley. Or like, there was a map when they got into Arkham Asylum, and one of the arrows was Ark Ham Sandwich Gift Shop.
I miss that.
Like, that's in almost every shot. And
there was a lot that you could probably go back through
and
watch and miss in the background.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things hidden. I know, like, in Aladdin, there was, like, one thing hidden.
You know?
But these movies have so many overlapping things just, for your brain to feast on. And I can't believe I only got one of the voices that were... I got Michael Cera.
You didn't... Yeah, I knew it was Michael's. I knew it, Michael Cera plays
it.
Robin.
Yeah.
I knew...
Who is the most adorable character ever.
I knew that. I knew... Oh, yeah. This is kind of the ultimate Robin. This is Robin.
So good.
This is no bullshit Robin. Yeah. Like, where a lot of the time we're pretending that Robin is also a complicated hero.
No
he's a giggling fanboy.
Yes.
And this is...
It's good. It's good. And you, if you don't melt over Michael Cera's Robin character, I don't know. If your heart doesn't melt, or for the Joker, for that matter.
It was so good. That.
I was ready to tear up.
Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. I knew that, and I knew that Jenny Slate was Harley Quinn, and she resisted the urge to do
to take over a
Margot Robbie impression. Oh yeah, which I was really afraid of.
No, she did her own subtle thing, but perfect.
Just to go through it. Because I feel like if I had memorized this, I would have been happier.
Yeah, because I spent some of the movie being like, who is that?
Channing Tatum is Superman again, as he was in the Lego movie.
Perfect.
And Jonah Hill is the Green Lantern, which was the case in the Lego movie. Barbara Gordon was Rosario Dawson.
I did not know that.
Didn't realize mm-hmm. that. And she was great. And I don't know whether to give away what happens.
Who? With what?
After we go to the bad place and everyone shows up. I don't want to spoil that. I will say that other voices include Jemaine Clement.
Yeah, say the voices.
Jemaine Clement, Ellie Kemper, Adam Devine, Kate Micucci, Seth Green, Jason Mantzoukas, Mariah Carey plays the mayor of Gotham City, Billy Dee Williams, Ricky Lindholm, Eddie Izzard, Conan O'Brien, our friend Doug Benson.
And?
What? Who?
Ralph Fiennes. Isn't he in it?
Ray Fiennes? Ray Fiennes is Alfred.
Isn't he Alfred? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to be funny. We're not telling you anything about Batman, but if you go watch it, and then if you listen to this, and then you go watch it, and then you put two and two together of why we don't want to give anything away.
Yes.
I
will only say that Ray Fiennes plays Alfred.
Yes.
He doesn't play the Ray Fiennes character that we meet later. Yeah, he plays Alfred. I wonder if that's okay. I'm giving that away.
No.
I wonder if we're
going to stop there.
I wonder if that's a copyright thing, because that's the other brilliance of the Lego movies is, I think at some point when this was being conceived, they looked at like internet memes and videos and cartoons that pull in characters from 100 different franchises,
yes,
and how much people love that and share it, and how pumped people get to see, like it was in the Lego movie, all these divergent, like Lego movie had Star Wars in it.
Yeah.
Like all
how do they do that? That's what I want to know.
Like,
do they just call people up and be like, hey, can we do this? Can we have the eyes?
I think they back-ended it where like they have the rights to all of those characters to make toys and video games. Like, there's the Lego Star Wars games and the Lego Batman, you know, DC and Marvel
games. They already have them.
And, like, they probably looked at the wording of those agreements and they were like, there's nothing in here that says we can't put these Lego versions in a movie. And okay. I'm sure that everybody's getting money. Like, I'm sure that everyone involved is getting paid. But I bet that they were like, we can do this as long as they're Legos. And that's the brilliance of it, because you don't know. Like, they can pull so many, like, little gags where it's not like, you know, if this were Disney and they wanted to make a Star Wars joke,
it would have to be,
like, behind, not Disney, because Disney owns Star Wars. If this was the Angry Birds movie and they wanted to make a Star Wars joke.
This was you and I.
Right.
Making a movie.
We have to, like, bury our Star Wars joke behind seven layers of copyright protection. They can just have Chewbacca show up, because they found a way, and that's so brilliant.
So I have a question about movies like this.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know it or not.
All right.
The people that are recording, because I've seen, you know, a ton of people record voiceovers for movies and cartoons and things like that. How many people do you think were in the room during the recording to, like, have that cadence? Is Will Arnett just in a meditation bubble and they just send him the script? Because it was that, I mean, you know what I mean? Is he in the room with Zach Galifianakis, like going back and forth?
I think when it's a conversation, the people in that immediate conversation are in the room. But when it's, I think most of Will Arnett's lines were, you know, in an empty booth.
In his meditation space. That's how I imagine him, just like sitting cross-legged.
Yeah.
With his eyes closed.
And he just riffed forever, and they were like, okay, what can we use out of this?
Yeah, they're just pulling out the stuff that they can use or not use, sending him mental images and what he thinks of
them. You know, with the directors in the next room and, like, still able to give him stuff. But, like, I, you know, I, this is, you were right to start with him, because this is so much him. This is his, like, masterwork. More than Arrested Development.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because his voice is just... And it is all Batman. I mean, this is... And it's a very... It's a very heartfelt movie, I would say, and it's very in-depth, because I was worried about that. And like I said, in the first 10 minutes felt like the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are they going from here? And then they took on this like very personal slide for Batman.
It still has like a...
And I loved every... I love Batman.
It has like a kid's movie, a normal kid's movie theme about like the value of friendship and connection.
Yeah.
And but like... Made hilarious because we're talking about Batman.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. I don't know if you've been to my house, but I have this big Batman that has all of the people that illustrated Batman. And I kind of want, like Will Arnett's Lego Batman head.
Yeah.
Like to just kind of be next to it because it's so good.
Like there are many Batmans I like less than this Batman.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ben Affleck's Batman. George Clooney's Batman.
Yeah, George Clooney was. Val Kilmer was bad.
Oh, yeah, I know. That, yeah. You know, I was at such a young age for Val Kilmer that I loved his face.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, sure.
I liked him, but yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, always.
Everyone should see this.
Yeah.
Like
everybody
anyone
should see
who
it.
Likes humor and enjoying life.
Yes. It's good. And take your kids.
Yeah.
Take those kids. All the kids were very well behaved in this show. I was really surprised. Like, there wasn't anybody being like, Batman! I was, like me.
Yeah.
So, I was shocked.
It's not too long. It did, like, drag a little bit in the middle.
It dragged in the middle for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, 7.25 minutes. And it came
back strong.
Right back. Yeah. I was worried that it was going to kind of keep going on that descent, but it was perfect. It came right back, and it almost needed that space to kind of clear the air.
And the reason for that was that they had serious themes and like had to treat them seriously for a few minutes. I mean, I think that's like a damned if you do situation when you've set up such a zany madcap pace for the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
That, you had to do that. It is going to make the movie suffer a little bit in the middle because...
You have to back off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when it... If you... It's like going from 100 miles an hour to zero.
Right.
You know, you got to... Right. You got to pedal that brake a little bit. But I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I wonder how long it took them to shoot that movie.
Oh, my God.
For the voiceovers. Years.
Yeah, like... The animation takes years.
Does it really?
Because I know that the Lego Movie 2 is not due out for at least another year, and it's like 18 months in already.
Oh, my goodness.
It takes forever.
Well, it was flawless.
Yeah.
Even the way Legos move, every single movement, when Batman is flopping around. No.
He
takes off his... Does he take off his... mask in the Lego movie. Do you remember
I don't think he does.
So that's kind of
a reveal.
Incentive. There is definitely a reveal on Will Arnett's Lego Batman as Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, Lego looked pretty good.
It's a handsome Lego.
It's a handsome looking Lego.
We'll be right back and we're going to talk about some other stuff. You know, you'll find out what after the break. That's a bad teaser. That's the point of saying what's coming up is to get people to stick around, and I'm not doing it. But I will tell you that if you're looking to make a podcast of your own, go to epicastnetwork.com/services. We are live in the Epicast studio right now for this recording. I know nothing. Some friends asked me the other day, we're thinking of starting a podcast. We need your help on the technical side. I'm like, no, you don't. I talk, and then I press a button. And everything else happens because Epicast does it for me. So go to epicastnetwork.com/services to start your own podcast. Or if you need audio production for an event, if you need photos for an event, they can do a lot of stuff for you. If you're creating things, there's probably something they can do for you. Epicastnetwork.com/services. And we'll be back after this word from another podcast on the Epicast Network. Maybe it'll be Marta on the Move.
Dun, 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 dun.
We'll be back.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com on the Epicast Network. You can find me on Twitter at I Can't Find Marta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
And we're back. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us about what's going on with Marta on the Move.
Oh, Marta on the Move is still moving, 2017. I just got back from California.
Yeah.
And I just visited the Magic Castle for the first time.
That's our extra butter. Yeah. No, and I'm going to talk about something else. Again, I'm still not going to reveal what we're talking about before we're talking about it, but... I'm very curious about it, because you can't just go, right?
No.
You can't buy a ticket to the Magic Castle.
No.
Tell people what it is if they have no idea.
Oh, guys.
It's a bondage club. No, it's not at all.
Well, let me get in depth on there.
Yeah.
So the Magic Castle, I have an episode coming out with the general manager of the Magic Castle in 2 weeks. It'll be a week after this releases. And the Magic Castle is probably the most wondrous place on Earth, I would say. And I travel quite a bit, and it's probably my favorite place on Earth.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You've been everywhere.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite place on Earth.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I will tell you exactly why. So, you know that feeling when you read the Harry Potter books where magic, it exists, you know, and you felt like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all anyone wants deep down. I don't care how big of a a-hole you are.
I agree.
Can I swear on the show?
Yes.
Asshole, you are. Everybody wants to feel like a kid. Everybody wants the magic and the awe and the wonderment.
Sure.
And they want it to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Castle, it does. It actually does. So it's been around. It's the Association of Magical Arts.
Okay.
And it is this old castle in Hollywood, in West Hollywood. And it was... It was bought by this family, and then this family turned it into the Association of Magical Arts for a place where magicians would gather to practice their craft.
Oh, wow.
So that they could be kind of in their own little club and excel and learn different things from different magicians all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it has still lasted. That was in 1962. And
it
has still...
I didn't know it was that old.
Oh, yeah. And it has still flourished. It has a different president all the time. Neil Patrick Harris was the president for a while.
Oh, right, because he did magic on the Oscars and no one knew why.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Magic Castle is you have to either be a member to get in or you have to know a magician to get in. And I am not a member. I wish I was. I lived in California, I would be a member. It's very hard to be a member, though. There's like...
No, it's like one of those, it's sponsorship and yeah.
It's tough. So I got invited by my friend Nick Carifo, and who was a magician in Pittsburgh, and now he lives in LA and he does the stage managing stuff for Universal, for Hollywood. And then we went, I'm sorry, I'm kind of geeking out about it. It's so hard. You have to have, there's no cameras, there's no pictures, no cell phones. You have to dress up. You have to wear, for guys, suit and tie, woman dress, you know. You have to speak to an owl in order to gain admittance.
Okay.
You have to say open sesame. And a bookcase opens.
Of course.
The place has 5 bars. It has at least five or six different venues inside the castle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, show venues. So you could take in 6 different magicians in a night, and they're from all over the world.
And it's all like small rooms, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah. They have the close up room, which is the most coveted because you are like right there, you know, it only seats maybe 20 people. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the first time we went in, I had a shit eating grin on my face the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we went into the close up room, they immediately pull me in and I'm at the seat as like the guinea pig with my friend Josh. And they did all the, that was my first experience in there. And it didn't even have to be that. I could stay in that place for hours and hours and hours, days.
I'm sure.
There's so many things to investigate. I can't. Yeah.
And so all of, you know, the corridors and nooks and crannies of this house are just loaded with, of this castle.
Loaded.
There's little magic everywhere.
Magic. And you could take in a show. David Copperfield was there last week. I almost shit my pants. I was so mad that I missed David Copperfield by a week.
Because he plays arenas and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he has his own island.
Hey, my phone's ringing.
That's David Copperfield.
Yeah. Ta-da. That's the magic, everyone.
That's what we were waiting for.
Yeah.
Like I found out David Copperfield has his own island in the Bahamas, charges like ridiculous amount of money for private people to go there. And
oh, you can travel to David Copperfield for a weekend of magic?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like I'm not...
And it's like $32,000 a day.
I'm not someone who seeks out magicians.
Oh, you should.
And yet this sounds like the coolest thing in the world.
It is the coolest thing in the world. I found out about it last year, and I can't remember the specific person that told me.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Scott Simmons, because we talk about it a lot, because he goes there a lot, or it was Lee Terbosik, who's a local magician.
Yeah.
But I became instantly obsessed, and I had to go there. And I just went, and I can't wait to go back. So if you want to learn more about it, I have my episode with the GM, Joe Furlow, coming out February. I forget what date it is. Whatever that Sunday is.
What's the most recent episode?
Tomorrow. Most recent episode that I had is...
As you're hearing this.
City of Play.
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys. Adam Nelson, Greg Manley, City of Play.
Did you talk about... the thing that I was a part of with them, is that like a secret that no one's supposed to discuss?
What are we talking about?
The Midsummer deal.
You're giving me eyeballs. Oh,
was that
a private thing?
Okay,
that was for us.
So was it private or was it secret?
No, it was secret.
Okay.
Yeah. It was.
So then nothing ever happened. We're referring to nothing.
Yet. Yes, that was secret.
But I can
nothing.
I can confirm based on nothing that they do really cool stuff.
Yes, they do very cool stuff, and they are my favorite organization in the city.
They do. They did the. They built playgrounds recently. Yes,
they did.
Correct.
I'd have to confirm that. I don't. That wouldn't surprise me. I know they might be getting confused with somebody else. Operation in UPMC. They did that. And they do dodgeball at the Ace. They do game nights every Wednesday at Hambones. And a slew of other stuff. Yeah, they do all that stuff, and I just love. I love their organization, and I love those guys. So
I am not related to them. I went to a game night. It was 90s game night at this place, Songbird Artistry in Lawrenceville, which is like a store that's some vintage stuff and some like crafts, handcrafted stuff. And they had 90s game night, and
90s game night,
right?
90s game night,
and we sat a group of adults, including a couple who was like 75 years old, sat around and played Girl Talk.
I was going to ask. That was going to be my number. Did they have the pimples?
They had the pimples. They still had the pimples.
Wow.
And which was hilarious and awesome, but that was a terrible game.
Yeah, it's awful.
That was an awful game in every way.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
like,
bad.
It's basically like structured truth or dare.
Yeah.
But the swing on the dares goes from like do a funny voice for a second to like ruin your life to like call seven people you know and make fun of them. It's like, well, this was horrible.
It's meant to ruin your life, and it's meant to affect your self-esteem badly.
Negatively.
Very badly. That game, the 90s was all about, I don't know what it was, but it was all about emotions and like finding out who you are, because there was a game that we used to play called True Colors.
Oh.
Do you remember that game? You had like a colored pin and you put it on, and it was almost like honest time with your friends, because you had these cards, and it's like, who amongst you would be the Wicked Witch of the West in this group?
And I can get more into that.
Yeah, and you had to put a color, because everybody had their separate colors, of who you thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to vote who you thought would get it, and you usually got screwed because it was yourself. And you'd find out that everybody at the table really thinks you're a bitch.
The 90s or an were the 90s were big into like forced humiliation.
Yes.
That was most of
Truth
Nickelodeon,
and Dare.
You know?
Oh, yeah. What would you do?
Yeah. Oh man.
Love What Would You Do?
The 90s.
What? Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I wanted to mention I too traveled as mentioned because I travel for wrestling every January. Hi, this is accept it about my life. But as part of my trip to Austin, I went to an Alamo Draft House for the first time. I don't think it was the original, but it was the group was born in Austin. I think it was one of the first few. And reporting back on that, because we don't have a dine-in theater in Pittsburgh yet.
No.
For about
we did in La Trobe.
In La Trobe?
Oh, what? Yeah. I went to St. Vincent College, so... there was a dine-in theater, and I can't remember what it was called. Lone Star?
Okay.
Lone Star, I think. But it served pulled pork sandwiches.
Okay.
And Rolling Rock beer.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the extent of the menu.
And
it was terrible.
No, you need a big menu. That's the one thing they have right. It's like if you want movie snacks, they have it. If you want like fun shareable apps, they have it. If you want a full entree or burgers or sandwiches, they have that. Basically anything that you might have a hankering for during a movie.
They have it.
They have. And I went and saw Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
And it was a Pulp Fiction movie party. That part of it honestly didn't take. Brian at Rowhouse was like, report back. And the thing I learned is... movie events with stuff before the movie, good. Movie events with stuff during the movie, because like the point of their movie parties is you're allowed to like recite the movie along with it.
No, that's only Rocky Horror.
They're trying to Rocky Horrorify everything.
No,
and
no.
But they even said like don't heckle the movie, and I'm like, well then
that's
watch
what you're doing. That's
no,
it.
They just wanted everyone to go like. Like when he says say what again, they wanted the whole room screaming say what again along with the movie. The cool thing was like they gave everyone a cap gun so that when someone is shooting you can shoot, and like that was amusing the first time, and then like after an hour and a half like people are just playing with their cap guns to amuse
that
themselves.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
Yeah, like I did learn like, oh yeah, stuff during the movie unless it's Rocky Horror or
no.
Or I, The Room. It doesn't work.
The Room
work.
Definitely is
But, like, they clearly do it right. They've got great beer everywhere.
Mm.
And all of their locations are incredible beer.
How's the screen?
The screen's
is
good.
Is it, like, normal-sized movie screen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. And the essential thing is it's not, like, a little tray. Like, you have a table, like, where it's, like, I can have my beer over here, and this is where the food is, and I've got silverware, and, like, I've put my cap gun over in the corner. Like, every person
legitimate
has that
table.
Much space. I don't know. Like, a lot of the industry pundits are saying that's what's going to happen, is everything is going to have to be a dine-in theater to get people to leave their house and not just wait for streaming. I
don't know about that. Maybe a sweet cocktail lounge.
Yeah, it was really cool for Pulp Fiction because I don't care if I miss Pulp Fiction because I'm talking to my waitress.
Yes.
But...
oh, I'd be annoyed as hell if it was a movie I really wanted to see.
I don't want to see La La Land for the first time.
No.
And the smells. Right.
We talked about smells on an airplane and
right.
How bad they are. Smells in a movie theater that aren't popcorn... I don't want to smell like, I don't know, a burger and fries.
Yeah.
And not just a burger and fries. Like, mm-hmm. A burger and fries over here, like chicken tenders with honey mustard
over here.
I'm good.
The nice thing was, with Pulp Fiction, I started to go, they're getting to the diner scene soon. I want a milkshake. And I just waved
funny.
Over and was like, yeah, like bring me a salted caramel
I'll
milkshake.
Take it.
So if you can eat along with a movie,
yeah,
then it's cool.
It's part of the experience.
But I want one to open in Pittsburgh. I want it to be like in my perfect world, it would be like a place that's second run and old movies.
Yes.
So it's either like
Hollywood or something like that.
Would I go back to see the Lego Batman movie again at a dine-in theater? Yeah, I would do that. and like have a good time and have a couple beers.
I'd like to go see Clue.
Yeah.
Like dress up and have like.
Like we talked about Row House already. Row House is my favorite thing. But occasionally this happened. Has Sean seen it? On Christmas, I went to Row House to see Gremlins. I had never seen Gremlins.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Did we talk about this on the podcast?
No, we talked about this on Facebook that I couldn't believe that you've never seen
Gremlins. I had never seen it.
Because you didn't watch it as a kid. And right. I'm like, bah.
Right. And
you didn't tell me what you thought, by the way.
I thought, I really did.
That's why you have to watch these things when you're little.
Well, I can't do that retroactively,
I know,
Marta.
It's problems.
I know. Well, but sometimes that goes the other way. You know, I saw, a couple weeks ago, Mary Beth and I went and saw Edward Scissorhands, which I had never seen.
Oh my gosh, Sean.
Yeah. And it was great.
Edward Scissorhands is more of a adult movie.
Yeah.
I think. It's very dark.
It might be.
You know, it's Tim Burton.
It might be a hair overrated because it's
beautiful.
That's the thing. It's really, really on the nose.
Yeah, it's like, made up.
It's really not real. Like, could you like make a more straightforward fable than this?
Yes, exactly.
But
it feels like a fairy tale in a book.
But
like,
it's,
you know,
so
page for page.
Gorgeous. It's one of the most like visually perfect movies I can name.
Oh, it is.
So occasionally I will go there with something that I should have seen when I was 8, 10, 14,
the
or
Lost
17.
Boys.
Which I did for the first time a couple months ago. And I'll have the Gremlins reaction, which Gremlins was like, this is kind of just not that great. Yeah. It had its moments. It definitely had, like, I see why people were really into it when they saw it when they were 10.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, going back wasn't like, oh, this is a great movie that everyone should... Nope. But Edward Scissorhands did have that reaction. So, like, sometimes this works out. But other times...
Not so much. What was The Lost Boys?
My reaction to Lost Boys was like, this is a fun... ridiculous 80s movie that is in no way good.
No,
like,
it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun. Why is this muscly man playing the saxophone? Like, everyone's a vampire.
Yeah.
It has a ridiculous ending.
The Hames, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was fun. Like, anyone who's like, oh, it's one of my favorite movies ever because it's so good. No, you're wrong. Like, you're just looking at it through rose-colored glasses. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a blast.
No, I do this all the time. But what was the point? With Gremlins, or even with Edward Scissorhands, I would not have minded if there had been a waitress there. I'm sorry to keep gendering it. I just feel that's what people always say with
waiter, waitress.
With dine-in movie theaters is you have a waitress. Like, you have a server. I'm sorry. But with any of those... It would have been cool if I could have been like, could I actually get a whiskey right now?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That would help.
That would be amazing.
But I don't want every theater. I want there to be a full dine-in movie theater in Pittsburgh. I do not want every movie theater in Pittsburgh to be
no.
a dine-in movie theater.
No. Not for new movies.
Just like the one in have you been to the Luxury Cinemas yet?
Where's that?
That's out past Kennywood.
Oh.
It's like West Mifflin plus a little bit.
Ooh.
Like near Century 3 Mall. It used to be the last Dollar Theater.
Oh, no, I have not been out there.
That was like the last Dollar Theater in town until like two, three years ago, and it closed and it reopened as Luxury Cinemas.
Is it like Tinseltown and Erie?
I don't
know.
Like
where you have like a recliner?
Yes, like, you have like a full recliner.
Like a full recliner.
Like you can be basically laying down.
Yes.
You can go to bed.
That's
if
like
you...
Tinseltown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad that's there. I'm going to go there sometimes. I don't want every theater to be like
no,
that.
No, I think I run the risk of falling asleep.
Oh, you absolutely do.
That's
like,
dangerous.
You have to be. I've been there twice.
Give me two drinks and like a recliner.
Yeah.
Like a nice movie.
Yeah.
I'll just be out.
Yeah. Like, booze and laying down is not a recipe for attentive
no.
movie watching.
No, no, no.
I want all these things to exist, but I don't want them to be everywhere.
In my house.
Yeah.
I want them to exist in my house.
Well, you've got a great house.
I do have a nice house.
That's,
I love it.
Plug your house. Everyone go to Marta's home.
No, don't come here.
Don't do that.
Although we do call it the Hawthorne. We've done so much work on it. I'm like so done with house renovations. I hate contractors. I hate them all.
I can see that.
I hate all of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a contractor, I'm sorry. Be honest. Be forthright. And God damn it, if you can't do something, don't say you can.
One day I'll have the kind of money to know about these things and know house things other than here's where I send my rent check every month.
No, you could just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Then honestly, that ends up happening anyways.
That's fun.
No, it's not. But I feel stronger.
I'm sure you do.
I can lay tile. I'm a spackle master.
I can call the guy that can do those
things. You can call me.
Yeah. So the next time that water's coming up through the basement.
Not for that.
No. Okay. No. Never mind.
No.
Plug anything you like.
Anything I like. Mm-hmm. Should I plug? So I'm Marta on the Move. You can find me at www.martaonthemove.com. Twitter at I Can't Find Marta. Instagram, Marta on the Move Podcast. That's about it. I feature interesting people and places in Pittsburgh and beyond, travel advice and general nerdery. And it's just a lot of fun. So head on over there. Let me know what you think.
And if you are listening to this on right away, you can probably still get a ticket for the Loaded Show. The first DV Loaded Show of the year is Saturday the 11th at 10:30 at Club Cafe. There's a great, unbelievable lineup. It's always an unbelievable lineup. That's the point. Bill Crawford, Gene Collier, Ray Zawadny, Mike Sasson, Suzanne Lawrence, Samantha Bentley, Alex DePula. I'm hosting. That's absolutely going to sell out. You need to read between the lines when a comic tells you something is going to sell out. Half the time we mean it's not. We desperately need to sell more tickets, so we are creating false demand. This is not one of those times. There are more tickets gone with a week to go as we're recording this than any time last year. Most of those sold out. If you are planning to come to the door, you won't get in. Go to clubcafelive.com right now and get your tickets in advance. Absolutely. And if you're listening to this on Friday, it's Arcade Anniversary Weekend. Well, whatever you're doing, it's Arcade Anniversary Weekend. Go to Arcade. Tonight at 10 p.m., I will be returning to the stand-up get-down with Aaron Kleiber and a bunch of other funny people doing a stand-up game show that just devolves into drunken madness.
Ooh, that
almost immediately. Now they get a DJ, which is just adds so much.
Oh my God.
When it started, I was like, why do they have a DJ? And then Aaron and Jason Clark got on stage and had a DJ at their disposal. And now I'm like, okay,
now I get it.
That's tonight, the 10th at 10 p.m. Loaded Show tomorrow night at 10:30. Buy tickets for those things. Go to those things. And now we'll rate the Lego Batman movie. Like,
oh, what are we rating it out of?
Out of 10.
Out of 10?
And the only reason that I'm stopping at 8 is just something won't let me go higher than that Lego Batman movie. But it's, when I say 8, I mean like everyone who loves joy should see this.
Yeah, it's a solid 8.
Like the only, like if you are the most stoic, like I only see serious dramas and I legitimately do not even enjoy comedy.
Stop that, first of all.
You're a jerk. Maybe you won't like this. But other than that,
Everybody should see it. It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's got everything. And we really enjoyed it. And I feel like we were laughing more than anyone else in the theater.
We were. More than the children.
More than the kids.
Your kids will love it.
Your kids will love it for just the fact that it's Legos. You are going to love it for the fact that you don't have to sit and watch a boring children's movie. Like, it's catered to you.
No, it's more.
It's looking for at adults.
It's for the young at heart.
It is.
Isn't that beautiful? Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.